Today is the 12th Sunday after Trinity Sunday, and the gospel appointed for this day is from St. Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ his Son, our Savior. Amen. Today's gospel stands out in the mind because of the physical nature of the miracle which our Lord performs. When the people begged Jesus to put his hand on the man who was deaf and mute, St. Mark tells us, And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. In healing this man, there is a physicality to Jesus' actions which surprises us. Jesus doesn't simply say, be opened, but instead he touches him and speaks. The Lord gives to that deaf mute a gift which he alone could give, a truth acknowledged in the praise of the astonished people. For they say, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. They knew that apart from Jesus' actions, the man could not hear nor speak. But now, not only was one man healed, but all those gathered began to proclaim the glory of the Lord. So it is for us. Our sufficiency is from God, from whom we hear the word of life, and who looses our lips to proclaim his salvation. It is important that we understand several things about this miracle. First, let us consider the context. In the first verse of the Gospel, we read of Jesus departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon. In the verses immediately preceding this Gospel lection, St. Mark provides an account of our Lord's actions in the region of Tyre and Sidon, that is, the healing of the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. As I'm sure you will remember, Jesus dealt with her in a quite different fashion from that which is recorded in today's Gospel. He seems almost to deny her request for healing, and yet the woman's faith becomes only more and more bold. And when Jesus grants healing, he simply speaks a word, and across the great distance the demon is cast out from the woman's daughter. Second, the miracle which we behold in today's Gospel is a powerful fulfillment of the promises of God. We hear in the words of the Old Testament lection, In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Those who witnessed this profound miracle bore witness that a promise of the Lord had been fulfilled. For we read, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Thus they rejoiced in the Holy One of Israel, in the one who is God in flesh, the Messiah. In both of these miracles, the healing of the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman and the healing of the deaf-mute man, both knew that only the Lord could grant healing. Why then does Jesus deal with the two in such different ways? Why does he only speak a word to the one and perform such a sign in the case of the other, as to actually touch the man? Consider the faith of the two making the request. The Syrophoenician woman comes full of the conviction that Jesus is the Lord. In Matthew's account of the miracle, it is recorded that she called Jesus the Son of David, acknowledging him as the Messiah, and it is recorded that she worshipped him. She comes in the conviction of who Jesus is, and in a firm faith of the power of his word. However, those who bring the deaf-mute come asking Jesus to put his hand on him. When Jesus does so and says, "Be opened," God's word tells us, "And they were astonished beyond measure." They were simply overwhelmed by what they had witnessed. We might be tempted to ask, why? After all, isn't this what they came to seek from Jesus? But they understood what they had witnessed. He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. In both miracles, the Lord hears and answers those who come to Him in need, working through His word. The word of the Lord accomplishes that which they desired. The word of the Lord brought healing. Thus we are led to the words of the epistle. For there we read, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter which kills is the letter of the law. The law kills because all men stand guilty before the judgment of the law." As St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The wages of sin is death, and as all stand convicted of sin under the law, the letter of the law condemns all to death." The law of God is also God's word, and thus St. Paul says that the ministry of the law, that is, the ministry of death, is glorious. For St. Paul writes, "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" The infirmity which the man suffered is part of the fruit of sin. All affliction and infirmity come because of the presence of sin in the world, and they find their ultimate end in death. This does not mean that every affliction is because of a specific sin, but suffering has entered the world on account of man's sin. And we daily add to the burden of sin, and far too often, the words and deeds of your life do add to your suffering, or the suffering of your neighbor. The man suffered from the affliction of being deaf and mute, but he did not hear the lies and slanders of men, and he did not use his tongue to join in such sins. Thus St. James wrote, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Now you imagine it is a little thing to wag your tongue, but it is not so in the eyes of God. The Holy Trinity has given speech to men so that we would proclaim His glory and edify one another. How have you used this gift beyond measure? To the glory of God or to the abuse of your neighbor? The ministry of death, the proclamation of the law, is still a glorious thing. When Moses came away from speaking with God, his face shone. Holy Scripture tells us in Exodus chapter 34, "So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him." Even this reflected glory of God terrified the people, and Moses would cover his face with a veil. Thanks be to God that the Lord speaks another word to us in addition to His holy law. Jesus declared, "Be opened," and it was so. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The one who said, "Be opened," and the ears of the deaf were opened, will speak on the last day, and the graves will be opened, and all who are His through faith will rise to everlasting life. Under the weight of our sins we merited death, but Christ came to take our sins upon Himself, and He died so that we would live. The law teaches us that there is nothing which merits life within us. Nothing. Christ Jesus suffered and died so that his righteousness would be credited to all sinners who, repenting of their sins and trusting in him, would receive eternal life. The good news is the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry which is more glorious. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Our sufficiency is from God, from whom we hear the word of life, and who looses our lips to proclaim his salvation. One man's tongue was loosed, but a multitude proclaimed the wondrous work of God. We pray in the collect that we may so faithfully serve thee in this life that we fail not finally to attain thy heavenly promises. It is as we read in Romans chapter 7, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." The Lord has opened our ears to hear the good news of salvation. He has loosed our tongues to sing his praises and to declare the wondrous works of God. The ministry of the Spirit brings the word of life to us, the glorious good news of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, a ministry carried out through the called servants of Christ to this day, through the preaching of the word, through the holy key of absolution. These are the gifts of the Holy Trinity, given to us because Christ Jesus is risen from the dead, the hope of eternal life to all who trust in him. These are the gifts of life, beginning when the word is joined to water in holy baptism, and renewed and strengthened again and again as often as we eat and drink the precious body and blood of the Son of God in the sacrament of the altar. Through his precious means of grace, our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Through the work of the Lord, our ears are opened, and we trust not in ourselves, but in the one who died and rose for us, and who will call us up from the grave on the last day. He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak, and he will raise the dead to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, of whose only gift it comes that thy faithful people do unto thee true and laudable service, grant, we beseech thee, that we may so faithfully serve thee in this life, that we fail not finally to attain thy heavenly promises. Through Jesus, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to join them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Sunday school is available for all ages at 9:30 a.m. In the course of the week, we have a midweek Bible class on Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m., and we invite you to join us for the study of the Psalms each Wednesday. For more information on Salem Lutheran Church, or this broadcast, you may call the congregation at 533-2330 or visit us on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. On our congregation's website, you will find an archive of sermons from past weeks, as well as other documents of interest for confessional Lutherans and for those who are interested in the history of Salem Lutheran Church. Salem is located approximately 2 miles north of Malone, off of FM 308. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship and the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild.